Well, this morning, we are going to do double duty here as we close out our Hi-Fi series and also launch into Advent together here at the church. And to do that, what I want to do is draw from the time of the exile to talk about Christmas. You know, when you've heard the Christmas story as many times as we have, I think it's easy to kind of become a little overly familiar with it. And it's nice to get a new perspective. So I sat in my office this week and I went through and I thought about everybody who would be listening this morning, and I added up all of our years together. And I estimated that if you were at one Christmas service all of the years of your life, we have collectively heard the Christmas story 2,918 times, and I'm not going to tell you how old I think each of you are. I'll keep that to myself. But when you have heard the Christmas story 2,918 times, it is nice to get a fresh take on it, isn't it? So that's what I want to do this morning, give you some new insight into the Christmas story. And to talk about the birth of Jesus, I want to go to the prophet Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is one of the big ones. You know, there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, lots there. And you will find him in your Bible just after Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And God said a lot of things through Ezekiel. In chapter 34, we are going to find something very important to do with Christmas. God is going to tell us two things in Ezekiel 34. One, what was wrong in Israel before the exile, and two, how God is going to get them out of it. So join me in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds shepherd the flock? And the answer, of course, is yes. Job number one for a shepherd is to take care of the sheep. But the shepherds of Israel, we're not doing that. And we're not talking about literal shepherds here, right? We're talking about the kings. We're talking about the community leaders, the religious leaders in Israel. All of them had God-given authority to take care of people, to lead them in right ways, to make sure that they had all that they need, and yet that is not what they have done. Verse 2, the shepherds only took care of themselves. Verse 3 tells us what they were doing. God says to these shepherds, you eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock. Essentially, you get rich off of the backs of the people that you are supposed to care for. Verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. These shepherds of Israel were given the responsibility of caring for God's people, but they failed miserably at it because they were just looking out for their own good. And so verse 5, they, that is the people of Israel, were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they were scattered and they became food for all the wild animals. God says, my sheep, my people wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. That's the exile that God is talking about. Because the leaders of Israel used their power and privilege to benefit themselves and not the flock, the whole nation got off track. And so off they went into the exile, shepherds and sheep alike. And that's no good. And so verse 7 to 10, God says, I am going to hold them accountable. you know, 10 in particular. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against those shepherds. I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending to the flock so that these shepherds will no longer feed themselves. They're done. Those secular shepherds, as it were, are done. They used their authority selfishly for their own benefit. And so now, in light of the exile, God says, you're done. Okay, that's just. But what about the rest of the nation? Right? Is it fair for the sheep to go into exile because the shepherds were not very good? Well, look at verse 17. God says, as for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you trample the rest of the pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? You see what's happening here? The people of Israel have seen their leaders looking out for number one, and they have decided, well, if it's good for them, then it's good for me. And so they have formed this pecking order within the nation. They're like the cows on my dad's farm, right? I see the big ones pushing the little ones aside and saying, this is the good food, and I'm going to pull it out of the trough and trample it on the ground so that you don't have any. Verse 21, he says, you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. Instead of the strong taking care of the weak, instead of the rich taking care of the poor, the way that it should be in any community of God, the people of God have said, well, if our leaders are going to get their own, then I'm going to get it for myself too. That's not the way it should be. Right? If God has given you influence and power, you need to use that, not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. That's not, though, what the people of Israel did. Their leaders used it for their own influence. The people used the power for their own influence. And so, verse 20, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. And because all of the sheep were low fidelity sheep, off they went into exile. But God is a high fidelity God. He didn't want to leave his people in exile. He never wants to leave sinners in exile. He wants to see them come back. He wants to see them restored to relationship with him. He wants to see them back in the place, in the land, in the case of Israel, that he intended for them. And so, verse 11, he makes this commitment. He says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the sovereign Lord says, verse 11, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. If you are into writing in your Bible, underline every time God says I in these verses, because he is wholesale committing to take care of his sheep. He says, I will look after my sheep. I will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places that they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. That is the day when Babylon came in and took them into exile. I will bring them out from the nations and gather from the countries. I will bring them out into their own land. I will pasture them in the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. He's promising, right? I'm going to bring you back to the promised land that I gave to your father, Abraham, so many generations back. And verse 15, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lay down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong, the proud, I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Everything that the shepherds of Israel failed to do, God says, I will do it myself. I will tend my sheep. I will bind up the injured and seek the lost. And if you slide down to verse 23, he explains how he's going to do it. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. Now, by the time of the exile, David is long gone, right? But God actually makes this happen. You know, 2 Samuel 7, remember the eternal promise that God makes to David? He says, you and your family will sit on an eternal throne. God is keeping that promise. He makes good on it when the people of Israel come back from exile. The governor of the land that they have is a man named Zerubbabel. You can read about it, Ezra 1 and 2, Haggai 1:1. He and the other leaders get the Israelites back on track. So God literally does bring his people Israel back from exile through a son of David who happened to be named Zerubbabel. But the problem of spiritual sin remains. Spiritual exile. They were still separated in their hearts from God. Yes, they were back from exile, but their hearts were not fully restored to God. And so then zoom ahead a few hundred years to a manger in Bethlehem. And who is in that manger? Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, who will sit on his father's throne, who will shepherd his people the way that God intended. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise in Ezekiel 34. Jesus is God himself coming back to seek the lost and to bound up the broken and to give strength to the weary. Remember the parable about the shepherd who goes out to find that one lost sheep? That's Ezekiel 34 in action. You know how Jesus said that he was the good shepherd? That's God keeping Ezekiel 34's promise. Remember how Jesus said he would lay down his life for the sheep? That's this. Jesus coming, God himself coming to take care of his flock, to bring back the lost, to bind up the injured, to strengthen the weak, just as he said he would do in Ezekiel 34. There is a shepherd in the manger of Bethlehem in Ezekiel 34, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd that God promises to be. Now, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for Jesus to be our shepherd? Well, first, if Jesus is your shepherd, then let him lead. If he is your shepherd, then he has brought you back from spiritual exile. He has restored you to God. Like any good shepherd, Jesus himself is going to get into your life to bind up its broken parts and strengthen you where you are weary. But you need to take time to allow him to do that. You need to come to him to allow him to do that. You know, he put himself in harm's way to make sure that you will be safe. Come to him and follow him and go where he goes, not off on your own, deciding, well, I know what's right for myself. I'm not going to listen to my shepherd. Go where he leads. You know, if you are straying from your shepherd, perk up your ears and listen to him calling your voice to come back to him. Because by his side is much more secure than whatever's out there. And know beyond a shadow of a doubt that where your shepherd is leading you is good. He is looking out for your best interests every step of the way. He is leading you beside green pastures and still waters. Allow him to restore your soul. You know, absolutely, shepherds give their sheep a fair bit of autonomy. God does the very same thing. But sheep keep their eyes on their shepherd. You do the same. Keep your eyes on your shepherd and go where he goes. Second, how do we think about Jesus as our coronavirus, as our shepherd? Let's think about it in terms of coronavirus, okay? Because there is a lot of news about potential vaccines, and that is great. That's good news. And our government leaders, our secular leaders, will do their absolute best, I'm sure, to get it out to people in a timely fashion and in a way that helps us out. But you know what's true? Some of it's going to get bungled. There are some people who are going to look for ways to profit off of it. There are going to be millions of dollars siphoned off, I'm sure, in the process. Leaders lining their own pockets. I wrote that on Tuesday, and then Wednesday I saw a headline saying already a family's been charged with $11 million in COVID relief funds siphoned off into their bank accounts. Our secular leaders will do some good, and they will also fail us sometimes. But you know what? Our hope is not in them. There is good hope in the vaccine, but our eternal hope is not in it. Our bottom of our hearts, bottom of our lives, essential to our souls, hope is in Jesus, our shepherd. He is going to bring us through this exile called COVID-19. And through it all, he is going to strengthen you when you are weak. He is going to bind up the broken parts of you. Absolutely, take medical care, but know that your shepherd is walking with you in every green pasture and in every dark valley. We can trust him to do what needs to be done to see us thrive. And while we wait for this vaccine, while we wait for Jesus, while we wait for his coming, then we will make good decisions. We will look out for others. And surely his goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Because the baby in that manger is the shepherd that Jesus, that God promised. Let's pray. Lord, it is, well, it shouldn't be amazing, but it's amazing how you make promises at one point and you fulfill them later. And there are so many places in the Bible where it fits together that I can't understand why people would question it. Lord, thank you for promising to be our shepherd. Because I admit, you know, certainly less than before I knew you, I stray. I have broken parts. I step in potholes. I get hungry. I need your intervention. And Jesus, you came to earth to intervene. You, the good shepherd, laid down your life for me and each of us who is here. Thank you for being our shepherd. Help us to follow you. Lord, give us joy in walking with you. May your rod and your staff comfort us. Your presence enliven us in the presence of our enemies, in the presence of a virus. Lord, we do pray that you in your sovereignty would oversee the distribution of vaccines for coronavirus. Lord, I pray in all of this that you would see good done, that you as our shepherd would step in where secular leaders fail and see that the weak are helped by the strong, see that the rich go out of their way to help the poor. Lord, I ask that you would help us to follow you as our shepherd and to care for the other sheep just as you care for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.